Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network. Your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us this week on Friday at noon as Adam and I do our weekly Nuggets mailbag. Lots to talk about this week. Big week in Nuggets Nation. The Clippers win was part of it. The Lakers loss was part of it. We'll get to all that, plus whatever is left of the guards. And I'm sure Adam and I will find something weird to argue about because that's what we do. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. I'm your host, Matt Moore, for this episode. Doing solo tonight because these late games are brutal on old men like Adam and I. They're just brutal for us. So I am your solo host tonight. We will talk about the loss to the Lakers, what it means, what it doesn't, the contextual reasons for it, all of those type things. In the first segment, we'll talk about what was to blame for the loss. Second segment, we'll talk about what wasn't to blame for the loss and talk about the loss of PJ Dozier. And the third segment, we'll take another look around the Western Conference and I'll give you a sense of what tonight means going forward for the Nuggets in the Western Conference playoff race. First off, if you haven't, please subscribe to our show and rate, review, and subscribe. Need those 5-star reviews. We need them. We need them badly. Help us. Help us be the best Nuggets podcast in the land. Help us. That would be a great deal to me. Make sure to check out all the great shows on the Locked On Network. We will have another show tomorrow. Either Adam will be solo or I will be along with him as we get you set for Nuggets Knicks, which should be a really interesting game, especially after this one. Okay, so Nuggets lose to the Lakers on Monday night, 93-89. If you are a longtime listener, you will not be surprised to learn that I am not surprised that the Nuggets lost this game. It's not that I don't think highly of the Nuggets. It's not that I don't think that they're serious. It's not that I think that they are prone to these losses. It's that, look, the Nuggets were in a really advantageous spot, 9-1 since the Murray injury, playing great, coming off this big win versus the Clippers. Also notably, played in Los Angeles versus the Clippers, had a long layover, and then play the Lakers. Look, I know it's a pandemic and everything's closed, but there's a lot of numbers that say that if you play in Los Angeles for long enough, you're going to lose. Part of that's because the Lakers have been a good franchise, and part of that's because there's stuff to do there, and it can distract you. And I'm not saying it was even anything bad. It may have been like, it literally may have just been like they just had a good time in the city, like went to a restaurant or something, right? If they're vaccinated, hopefully. So, not surprising they lost this game. Lakers were desperate. LeBron goes down. This had all the makings of a Nuggets loss. If it was the opposite, if it was like the Lakers had won 10 of 12 and were roaring and everything was set up and they were about to pass the Nuggets, then I would expect the Nuggets to pull out the win, right? But in this one, not surprising that they got the win here. Here is why they lost the game. The Lakers play a physical brand of basketball that does bother Nikola Jokic. Jokic finished with 32 points, but he needed 28 shots to get there. He finished with just 5 assists to just 2 turnovers, in large part because the defense contains on the perimeter to make sure it's difficult to get three-pointers up. They held the Nuggets to 24 three-point attempts. There is a direct correlation between Jokic's 5 assists and 24 three-point attempts, which is not very many at all. You got to beat the Lakers from three-point range. The Lakers hit 7 more three-pointers in this game. You're not going to beat LA if you get beat from the three-point line. It is almost impossible for that to happen. And like, look, you know, the Lakers didn't shoot lights out from three. Ben McLemore was 1 of 5. Alex Caruso, 2 of 5. KCP was 2 of 6. You know, Kuzma hit 2. Davis hit 1. And Wesley Matthews hit 2 big ones. Marcus Gasol, 3 of 4 from 3. This stuff happens. That's how it goes. You know, when PJ Dozier hits them, and PJ got hurt in this game, but when PJ Dozier hits them in the playoff series, you're going to hear grumblings from the other side. But you know, having seen them, that there are nights when Dozier can hit. So that's the first thing, is that low three-point attempts based off of the Lakers' physical style of defense on Nikola Jokic. Many of you are going to feel that Jokic was fouled repeatedly in this game and did not get calls. You are not the only one. I am good friends with the Mavericks blogger, Kirk Henderson, who runs Mavs Moneyball. He constantly complains about the Lakers' mugging style and how they basically dare the officials to call something. I am friends with several other bloggers that have expressed this exact same sentiment. This is not a new phenomenon. The San Antonio Spurs did this. The Cleveland Cavaliers, which Michael Malone was an assistant coach on in the late 2000s, did this. The Detroit Pistons in the mid-2000s, they did this. You constantly push and shove and check and body and grab, and you set an expectation in the official's mind that, okay, we're going to do this all night. You're either going to have to call everything or you're going to have to let stuff slide, and they will always let stuff slide. That doesn't even have to do with the Lakers effect, which I do think is considerable because, once again, tonight, 16 free throws for the Denver Nuggets, 23 for the Los Angeles Lakers. Surprise, surprise. Jokic winds up in foul trouble once again versus the Lakers with four fouls, but look, didn't foul out, so that's a good thing. That physical style does disrupt Denver. Now, there's a difference between that and they're soft, which was the accusation last year, right? Like, we've proven that they're not soft. There's physically soft and there's mentally soft. Their style of play, because it is predicated upon ball movement, there are counters to it, but you're going to have to cut extremely hard and you're going to have to do a whole bunch of complex mechanisms to get Wesley Matthews off of you. You're going to have to do a lot to get Kyle Kuzma off of you. You're going to have to do a lot to get Alex Caruso off of you. And with the Nuggets being so shorthanded at guard, that makes it doubly difficult. Like, this is a game where you want the guards cutting to the basket, because that's where the Lakers do have a few issues, especially with Dennis Schroeder out. You've got some advantages to maybe clear some space. Like, Caruso's a really good defender, but if you peel him on picks, he will get hung up. Can't do that if you just don't have the cutters for it. And I think that was a problem tonight as well. Like, clearly the offense was the issue tonight. The Lakers shot 43.8% from the field, 43% from three. They only hit 16 of 23 free throws. They missed seven free throws. That's not too bad. They did have more turnovers than Denver, 20 to 12. We talk about all the time. Usually when Denver doesn't turn the ball over, they win. So what happened tonight? They just did not have enough offensive firepower. They needed one more guy to step up. Michael Porter's numbers look good in retrospect. 19 points on 8 of 15 shooting. Once again, he shoots better than 50% from the field. 2 of 7 from 3, you'll live with it. He missed some, including he had one, a huge one late that was waved off because Facu Campazzo supposedly knocked over 6'11 Anthony Davis, which is just an absurd thing that occurred. Only two free throws for MPJ. That's kind of relevant. Six boards is fine. You know, he played 39 minutes. Six boards is fine. It's not great. It's not terrible. I do think that when you look at it and you say, okay, the Lakers got seven offensive rebounds, Nuggets got six, there wasn't like a huge advantage on the offensive glass. So, but I do think that Porter, for a long stretch of the game, and I don't think this is like a huge criticism of him. Porter's at the point where he's earned enough to where I should be able to criticize him without it being like, and this is why he shouldn't start. Like, no, clearly he should start, and clearly he should get the second most shots on the team. Second quarter, Porter has zero shot attempts. Third quarter, Porter goes 3 of 6. Fourth quarter, he goes 4 of 5. First quarter, 1 of 4. So really is that first half, right? Like, the Nuggets dug themselves a first half where Porter goes 1 of 4. He only gets 4 shots in that half. And that's that physical defense. Now, it's encouraging that he worked himself out of it, and especially, I thought, late in the game, was trying to make things happen, which is what he needed. I'll also say this. Between Porter and Gordon, I will blame Gordon more than Porter. Gordon was 2 of 7. You can either be 5 of 7, or you need to be 4 of 12. If Gordon makes two more shots in this game, the Nuggets probably win this game. Even if he takes more attempts. Like, they just needed buckets, right? And not having the ability, like, you know, and I think Gordon's looking for chances. I think he's looking for opportunities. And he's guarding Anthony Davis. He had a fantastic block on him. But I do think that the Nuggets are going to need more scoring from Gordon particularly. The Nuggets in the second quarter got beat, and that's been a recipe, right? So the bench has been so awesome and been so incredible and played great. No Paul Millsap tonight, notably. JaVale McGee was a -1 in that second quarter. The starters had a really rough time closing the half out. But really, like, you look at it, Shaq Harrison was a +2, and everybody else in that quarter got outscored. the Nuggets need to win the second quarter, at least not lose it considerably. Like, they lost the second quarter 18-25. They lose that quarter 23-25. They're up at half. The game probably goes different. There are all sorts of ways for Denver to win this game. The fact that they didn't versus the Lakers is notable, but if you remove the names on the jerseys and you just have physical team X versus the Nuggets, I would say that you look at this game and you go, it's fine. It was a bad night. They were due for one. It's no big deal. Because it's the Lakers, it feels like a bigger deal. And we'll talk a little bit about that more in the fourth segment about how much concern there should be about this matchup long-term. Look, the late sequence, this is kind of a mix of whose fault it was and who wasn't. Late sequence, Talen Horton-Tucker gets this offensive rebound putback, okay? I really want to stress this of what happened. So everyone's killing Rivers about this, and I get it. I understand why. I just want to put some context on it because I've watched the clip a lot. Rivers makes a really good contest on him, okay? He stays with him. He bodies him. He's undersized versus THT. He still stays with him, and he takes a bump, but he goes under the basket, right? And at that point, like, he's made the effort. He sprinted to contain. He stayed with him. And he forces THT into a wild shot. Jokic, readying for the miss, bodies out Marc Gasol several feet from the basket. Like, if he's going to miss that, he's probably going to miss it off the front rim. Like, Jokic gets a lot of those rebounds. But THT misses it so badly. He misses it so badly that it goes off the backboard, completely missing the rim. And THT is able to get back into the play and grab the loose ball because Jokic was back in the map expecting a normal miss. Rivers at that point, yeah, he needs to get over and contest for sure. But you don't want to foul there either. Like, you've just gotten a stop. Like, you've created a stop there. And on replay, it really looks like Rivers is worried about two things. One, fouling him. And two, touching the ball when he's standing out of bounds, which resets the clock. And that dooms the Nuggets, right? Like, out of bounds off the Nuggets on offensive rebound possession, that's going to be 14 on the clock for the Lakers, and they're going to be able to run that clock out. That's a problem. Tucker honestly shouldn't have taken that shot. Like, he should have run the clock out. He makes a reverse over Jokic. It's tough, but I don't necessarily kill Rivers for that as much as I think you maybe want to or can. I don't necessarily kill him for that. Jokic made a good box out on Gasol. Rivers made a great contest on THT. THT just missed it wildly enough that he was able to get his own board. He was lucky to get that play off. That really was kind of a luck play. Jamichael Green suffered in this game. Anthony Davis is a bad matchup for both of the Nuggets forwards. Gordon did a really good job of him, but Millsap didn't play. He's a bad fit in this matchup. I would have loved to have seen Millsap in the non-Anthony Davis minutes. So Davis tonight was a +3. In a game that the Lakers won by 4. So they were a +1 in AD's non-minutes. That's, if you flip, again, you flip that +1 to a -5, the Nuggets have tied it and this goes to overtime. So I don't blame Malone, because if you're like, Millsap deserves nights off from time to time too. This was a good spot to get him a night off. Davis does tear him apart because of the size disadvantage. You can't use him on him. And you want to be able to spread the floor to Michael Green. I get it. And Jamichael Green went 0-3. Another way that they could have won this game. They didn't win this game because the Lakers have a defensive style that messes with them. The Nuggets are a bad matchup versus the Lakers. It continues to be true. This was also a game where the Nuggets could have gotten a win without LeBron James had any number of things gone the other way. On the other side, we'll talk about whose fault it wasn't. And we'll continue to talk about some of these issues as far as what this game means going forward. But first, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app's free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We host our rooms on Friday at noon. They're a lot of fun. People come by, they get up on stage, they give us their thoughts, they ask questions. Sometimes a hawk kills things outside Adam's window. Sometimes Adam and I get in screaming matches about each other. It's amazing. It's a good time. We are still solving the issues with recording. I have talked to Locker Room about those issues, and they have promised that what they've suggested to me will work this Friday. So I'm hopeful that we'll get an episode recorded of this of our room on Friday, but you should join anyway. I know there's a lot of consternation about it not being on Android. that's in beta right now. It's actually being tested by people. Locker Room will be out there for Android very, very soon, and we will let you know when it's available. It's a perfect place to start or join conversations about the NBA, and you're going to find fans just like you. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Hardwood Paroxysm to be notified when my room goes live. I know you don't want to miss it. We're planning this week from Friday at noon. Can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts on the Nuggets after a big week in Nuggets Nation. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for joining us. Matt Moore solo tonight. Adam Mares has a night off because he is a sleepy panda. So I bet you are probably tuning in to find out what I think of Facu Campazzo. Okay. This is not a simple conversation. I want to stress that I have said that Facu has played great over the last 3 to 4 weeks. I think he's been awesome. Hit that big shot versus the Clippers. This game does not change that. I also thought he was really good for most of this game. Played great defense, was disruptive, took a charge on Andre Drummond, did all number of things that was disruptive. Like THT gave him a "you're too little, he's too small" thing one time. You live with that. Like THT is just not the guy that you're scared of, even though he made that big bucket. You're just not worried about him. 3 of 6 from the field for Campazzo, 1 of 4 from 3-point range. That's totally fine. Had 8 assists, which he led the team in assists, you know, and that's crucial to getting those. 5 steals for Campazzo, only 2 turnovers. He was 8 points minus 3 in 36 minutes. Look, Campazzo's got to play because at this point they're out of guards because of the PJ Dozier deal, which we'll get to in a second. The play on Davis is an example of a play where I think Campazzo's reputation is out there for being a guy that takes those types of hits and tries to get away with it by being small. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that a lot of times you're going to get away with it. Think of how many times Marcus Smart, even though he's a tremendous flopper and everybody knows it, how many times he does get away with it. A lot. There's a lot of times Marcus Smart gets away with it. Campazzo's kind of that way in that, you know, he sometimes gives more of a hit. Like if Smart flops acting like he's weaker than he is, Campazzo gives little shots every now and again. And Davis is a player that falls down constantly. You're also always going to get that call. Like if you're Anthony Davis, you're going to get that call if you get knocked over. Right. I don't know what else Campazzo could have done. It's a tough one. But it is an example of an issue. There was a turnover late that was pretty bad again, and the block 3 is pretty bad. I don't know what else to tell you. Everyone made a lot out of Anthony Davis's closeout, and it was a good closeout. I wish that we celebrated more closeouts that way and not just Los Angeles Lakers, but that's fine. It was a really good closeout. However, any NBA player with average size is shooting that over Davis clean. Maybe it's contested enough to miss, right? But they're not getting their 3-point shot attempt blocked. It's only Campazzo in that situation that's going to get blocked. Now, again, ideal scenario, Campazzo's not on the floor. Jamal Murray's on the floor. Will Barton's on the floor. Maybe even Monte Morris, but that's not where they're at. The problem, it's too bad, but I do think that Campazzo overall played well enough in this game to be acquitted. The bench minutes were really rough. JaVale had a pretty rough night. 5 of 7 for 10 points for JaVale. So offensively, he was good, but defensively, he got burned pretty bad, and that was an issue. Marc Gasol gave Jokic problems tonight. It was a throwback performance. I think over the course of a series, Jokic could probably figure out Gasol. He cooked Drummond. Harrell only played 9:30, wasn't really able to play. Drummond was a minus 11, but Gasol was plus 17. Now, let's look at those three-pointers. Let's take out 2 of the 3s, okay? That's it. That's down to plus 11 instead of plus 17. Take away some of the fouls, it goes the other way. there's a lot of ways that this can work out in the Nuggets' favor, but I do think that Gasol is a good matchup for Jokic. And Jokic mentioned after the game that, you know, that's a former defensive player of the year and he played really well. Davis is still a tough cover. 9 of 19 for Davis tonight, 7 boards and 25 points, 4 turnovers. The only real big moment I thought for Davis actually wasn't the block. It was the floater in the lane over Gordon. Like, that's just a tough one. Like, if you're going to hit that, then that's what you're going to do. You've got to live with something from AD. He missed some mid-range shots, which that's what you're hoping to see if you're the Nuggets. Was this a good loss? No, it wasn't a good loss. You lost to the Lakers without LeBron. You snapped their losing streak. You increase the odds that they're going to wind up in the 5 spot, which that by virtue of the loss also increases the odds that you're going to wind up in the 4. Right. But there's just a lot that's still possible here. The Nuggets are still in 3rd by virtue of tiebreaker. The Lakers are still in 6th by virtue, or I'm sorry, they moved to 5th tonight. I haven't updated my sheet because the Mavericks haven't played, but they're still tied in the loss column. Blazers slip behind them again. So it's not a good loss, but it's also, I don't think it's the worst one. And I think it's actually good to kind of get like the hottest team in the NBA, the Nuggets. Be under the radar a little bit. That's a key thing. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the PJ Dozier injury, and we'll take a look around the Western Conference. I'll let you know what things are looking like as far as the Nuggets playoff run is concerned. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. It is the best place for you to find all the parts for your car or truck. So chain stores, those big box stores, they've got different prices. If a professional mechanic walks in, he gets one price. You can come in at the exact same time, get the exact same part, and you get a different price. And rockauto.com does not think that that's fair. They always offer the lowest prices, and they do not set things based off of what the market will bear like the airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. And best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear Bass box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as the teams prep for the runs of the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, who's the best superhero in the NBA? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Hey, I have good news for you after the Nuggets lost to the Lakers. The Nuggets still clinched a playoff berth for the 3rd season in a row. The Denver Nuggets are in the playoffs, not in the play-in, in the playoffs. By virtue of the Blazers' loss to the Atlanta Hawks, the Nuggets have clinched a playoff seed and are locked, as per the NBA. They are locked in here on Locked On Nuggets. Sorry, I'm just doing puns. It's very late. I'm very tired. Here's a look around the Western Conference tonight. Jazz moved back into the 1 seed with a win over the Spurs. That moves them a half game up over Phoenix. Phoenix still holds tiebreaker, still tied in the loss column. You know, there's this next game after the Knicks game versus the Jazz is big for both the Nuggets and the Jazz. That's going to be a very big game. The Jazz need it because if they lose, they're almost definitely going to wind up in the 2 spot. If they win, they got a pretty good shot at the 1. Denver's tied now in the loss column with the Clippers. They're tied straight up. There are 7 games remaining. The Nuggets schedule is tougher. We'll see how this works out. you are not safe when it comes to getting the 3 seed. I'll tell you that right now. Like, you're not, it's not for sure. They can very easily get the 4th. Now, what you're really rooting for, here's what I will tell you. You are rooting for the Mavericks from here on out. You want the Mavericks to win. The Nuggets are 6 games up still in the loss column over the Mavericks and the Lakers. They are not going to lose that many games out of 7. So they are definitely not going to wind up below the Mavericks and the Lakers. They're not going to get slipping past 4. You want the Mavericks to win. As long as the Mavericks are winning, the Lakers can't climb above them because the Mavericks have tiebreaker. So you are rooting for the Dallas Mavericks the rest of the way. You are also likely rooting for the Portland Trailblazers on Friday. So the Blazers play the Lakers play the Clippers on Thursday and then the Blazers on Friday. Okay. You are rooting probably for the Lakers to beat the Clippers and then lose to the Blazers is what you are circling in your little Nuggets calendar. Okay. The reason is a Clippers loss gives you an extra game up. If you beat the Knicks, it gives you an extra game up on the Clippers. That makes it 2 with just 6 to play. That's huge. Like, having a 2-game lead with 6 to play is pretty massive, especially with only like, what, 2 tough games left on of the season before the Blazers game at the end. The Blazers game versus the Lakers is massive. That's for tiebreaker. Those teams are 1-1. So if the Blazers win, it's very likely the Lakers finish below the Blazers. And if by that point the Mavericks keep winning, or even if they don't because they win 3-way tiebreaker situations, then that means the Lakers slide to 7 and the Nuggets won't have to worry about them at all in the first round. So I'll tell you this. The Nuggets aren't going to get into the top 2 seeds. They're 4 back with 7 to play. That's done. That's over. You're not catching Utah or Phoenix. However, that's good because the Lakers can still slide to the play-in. And if the Lakers slide to the play-in game, you're in business. That means that you're not playing the Lakers in the first round. And they will, now it's possible you can face them in the second round, right? Like, if you're the 3 seed and you get the Blazers in 6 and you do get past Portland, which, you know, look, without Jamal Murray, you have to accept the fact that it's possible the Nuggets do not get out of the first round. It's many series, they won't even be favored. The Nuggets, by the way, per BetMGM, are favored to be eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. So just as a heads up, that's where we're at. But what I'm telling you is there's a pretty good chance if the Blazers win Friday, you won't have to play the Lakers. You also, we didn't talk about this the other night with Adam, but you won't have to play the Clippers either. Like, there's no scenario in which the Clippers or Nuggets finish below the Mavericks, Lakers, or Blazers, or anybody else, or jump up, which means one of Denver and the Clippers is going to be in the 3, and one of Denver Clippers is going to be in the 4. I know that it's been fun beating them, but you're not going to see the Clippers for the rest of the season, just unless you make the Western Conference Finals versus them. That's the only situation you would see them. That one's done. If you can get the Lakers into the 7th spot, you might see them in the second round. If you're the 3 seed, you could also tank, right? If it's the last game of the season and if you lose, you're the 4, you can lose. You can give Portland that game, slide into a 4-5 versus Dallas. The Blazers or the Lakers are in 7th, right? Especially with the Blazers win in that last game of the season. The Lakers slide to 7. They win the play-in. They beat either Phoenix or Utah. And then they're the Clippers problem in round 2. And the Nuggets have to go through Dallas or Portland and then Phoenix or Utah. That's the path to the Western Conference Finals, which is very much still possible, even with this loss tonight. PJ Dozier goes down with what's being described as hip tightness per Mike Singer, who talked to the PR staff. Malone mentioned the groin. It looked like a groin. Here's the problem. I did not know this, but there are tons of muscles that run from your hips to the insides. And it's not just groin. It's hip muscles, adductors, all sorts of things. And they go into your sides sometimes, or they go down into your thighs. Like, there's all these muscles in that midsection and they're all part of your core muscles. This is yet another core muscle injury. Gary Harris, Will Barton, Paul Millsap, Mason Plumlee, on and on and on, and now PJ Dozier. The Nuggets have suffered more core injuries than any team that I can remember. It's a problem. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know whether it's just a freak, the freakiest freakness that has ever freaked when it comes to injuries, that one team keeps getting all of this specific type. I know it doesn't look good. I'll also say this, like the Nuggets don't have a lot of problems with other injuries. They genuinely have good conditioning. They don't have a lot of problems with backs. You'd rather have like core injuries than back injuries. You'd rather have core injuries than foot injuries. You'd rather have core injuries than knee injuries. But this is another core injury. So let's go back over this. To start the season, the Nuggets had Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Monte Morris, Facu Campazzo, RJ Hampton, Marcus Howard. They picked up along the way Austin Rivers and Shaq Harrison. The Nuggets are now down to Facu Campazzo, Austin Rivers, Shaq Harrison, Marcus Howard. That's their guard rotation right now. It's bad. It's very bad. Malone, after the game, like asked, like, I don't know if we're cursed, if we need to like contact a priest. You can tell he's pretty frustrated. I just think that he's tired of having to deal with setback after setback after setback. Malone is always like rough and tumble. Let's fight to the end. I think this is starting to wear on him. And he's the one that always has to like set that tone, right? He's the one that has to say, hey, next man up, let's go. Like, all right, we're going to win this game. Let's go. He has to be both positive and demanding that they compete. But it's just a lot to ask of this team. Facu Campazzo should be like a change-up weapon. He should be a change-of-pace guy. He should not be relied upon to hit the biggest shot of the game late in the game versus an Anthony Davis closeout. That's not where the Nuggets should be at. But that's where they are. And I don't have any sort of like good thing, except I will say I expect Monte Morris and Will Barton back for the playoffs. I'll say that. They might miss it. That's happened a lot where I've been like, oh, they got to come back by the playoffs, and then they don't. But I think that we'll probably, I don't think that you've seen the last of Monte Morris and Will Barton before the end of the season. I do not think that you've seen the last of them this year. So get well soon, fellas. Tough. This next game is not going to be a rollover. It's going to be a very tough one. I'm excited to get Adam's thoughts on the team and what he thought of this game. And how mad he is that the Lakers, once again, just pulling another game out of their rear end, as they are wont to do as the Los Angeles Lakers. But this isn't that bad of a loss. Oh, by the way, so at Action Network, we're unveiling some projections based off of where we think that things are going to end up at the end of the season. And for my purposes, I will tell you that there is a 31% chance they wind up in the third seed and a 66.8% chance they wind up in the fourth seed. You want to root for Dallas. You are rooting for Dallas and you are rooting for Portland the rest of the way if you want to avoid the Lakers, which you should. That wraps it up for Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you thought of the show. I always appreciate the feedback. Adam will be back tomorrow in some capacity. I may or may not, depending on if I ever get to sleep ever again. I've written a lot of words and done a lot of stuff. Thanks for joining us. Hang in there. Tough loss. More chances to win this week. Nuggets are fine. Well, not physically, but, you know, in terms of the record, they're fine. And the season's almost over. We'll talk to you again tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us.